The second thing that I think will happen as we pray this phrase, hallowed be your name, is that it will remind us again that God is holy. I was thinking about this during the week. You don't often hear the words holy or hallowed used to hear in conversation today. They're kind of words that have tended to sort of slip out of use. And I was thinking to myself, how is this word used today? And the only illustration I could come up with was a football ground. But people talk about hallowed turf. Isn't that right? Special places where particular sporting events are held. See Berwyn here, great Welsh supporter. Talk about hallowed ground, Cardiff, you know, where some of the great rugby events have taken place. Lords, where some of the cricket events have taken place. I found this little picture of people sort of kneeling down and actually kissing the ground, a particular football stadium, worshipping the ground. But the point that Jesus is talking about here is that when you pray, hallowed be your name, you're not reminding yourself of a football ground or a special piece of ground. You're reminding yourself that God is holy, that he is different, that he is everything that you and I are not. To be holy is to be set apart from all that's impure. In Isaiah 6 and verse 3, we didn't read much of it this morning at the beginning of our service because it was too lively just to take longer to read this passage. But in Isaiah 6 verse 3, Isaiah is given a vision of the holiness of God. And as he glimpses the holiness of God, he recognizes just how sinful he is. He sees himself as he really is. And he cries out. He says, woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. When we see the holiness and the purity of God, we begin to see ourselves as we really are. But we need to keep God's holiness in balance. Something that Jesus does perfectly. Another prayer, which we're not looking at as part of this series, but in John chapter 17, as Jesus comes to pray to his Father in heaven, he uses this wonderful phrase which captures this so well. He talks about Holy Father. I thought to myself, that's just perfect. It captures the holiness of God, and it captures the fatherhood of God, all in one phrase. This great God, who's holy, who is everything that we are not, pure, righteous, and yet he's our Father, if we're followers of Jesus, if we've been forgiven and made right with God. One of the great privileges that we have is coming and saying to our Father, Abba Father, Holy Father. What a wonderful privilege. This petition raises some important questions as to how we pray, doesn't it? It causes us to think about how often we pause to stop and think about the holiness of God. There's a great sort of movement, not a movement, but an awareness around today of almost treating God like your mate. He's not our mate. He's our Father in heaven, and we are part of an earthly family that belongs to God. But he is our Holy Father. Do you see God as your Holy Father, as well as your Abba Father? Or have we allowed this lovely image of Abba Father to dissolve something of the awesome holiness and purity of God? They're good questions to ask, aren't they? But hold this balance together. The fact that God is your Heavenly Father, the perfect Heavenly Father, and that he is holy is everything that you and I are not. Who better to come to and to share your life with as you talk to him in prayer? So to pray this phrase, to recap, means that it will remind us of who God is. It takes us to the name of God. It reminds us of his character. And secondly, we've seen it reminds us that God is holy. And thirdly, I want to suggest to you this morning that when we pray like this, it reminds us of God's priorities. Jesus says, you need to pray, hallowed be your name. Not our name, but God's name. It's back to this idea of ensuring that our world is, that we are not at the centre of our world, that God is at the centre of our world. And that his purposes and his priorities rotate around God and not around us. The Bible rightly encourages us to bring our requests before God. It's full of encouragements to bring your petitions and to bring the things that are on your heart and your mind and bring them to God and tell God how it is. But Jesus says, before you get to that stage, make sure that you take time recognizing who God is. That changes our perspective completely. That He's our sovereign God, that He's our almighty God, that He's merciful, that He's our shepherd, He's our rock, He's our fortress. He's almighty God, He's sovereign God. And that He's our Father, our Abba Father, our Holy Father. Any prayer that doesn't take an account of who God is will inevitably be distorted. That's why Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Here's the pattern. Here's the shape. Here's the model to pray. Not putting God first suggests that we don't have a proper understanding of who God is. Jesus takes us in this prayer and says, this is how you should pray. Here's the model. Here's the pattern. He reminds us of the ultimate reality by getting our thinking straight and saying, you need to stop. And you need to remember that the world does not revolve around you. It revolves around Almighty God, His plans, His purposes for His people. I love the way J. John, the evangelist, he's a great communicator, puts it in his book on the Lord's Prayer. He says, failure to pray in the way that Jesus teaches here will lead to prayers that are little more than personal shopping lists, where we can soon come to perceive God as someone who exists for our benefit. Almost like a genie. You rub the lamp, you say what you want. He goes on to say, very soon, if you take that approach to prayer, we will have turned God into someone or something who is nothing more than a means of supplying our wants. And then he says, he reminds us, God is the perfect parent. And because he's the perfect parent, he's not going to allow that to happen. It's pretty challenging, isn't it, really? Particularly in the light of today's instant consumer society, where we say we want it, and we want it now. So what do we notice this morning? Praying this phrase, hallowed be your name, reminds us firstly of who God is. Jesus is not giving us prescriptive prayer. He's saying, here's a way in which you can pray. Here's a model. Here's a pattern to follow. And if we pray like this, I want to suggest to you this morning, it will remind us firstly of who God is, because it will take us back to his name and back to his character. Great place to start when you come to pray. Secondly, it reminds us that God is holy, that he is everything that you and I are not, that he is our holy Father. And thirdly, to pray like this reminds us of God's priorities. Praying, your name be honoured, your will be done, your kingdom come, before we start to talk about our own needs and petitions. The question we always need to ask ourselves on a Sunday morning, and we always ask this question when we're looking at the Bible, is so what? What does it mean? How would our praying change if we started to pray like this? I want to suggest four areas briefly by way of application this morning. I want to suggest, first of all, that it will shape the way that you and I pray for the world. If you pray in the way that Jesus said, hallowed be your name, it will change the way you and I pray for our world. I don't know about you, but as we're praying for Syria this morning, I'm struggling. I don't know how to pray for Syria. It is so complex. It's where it's at as a result of something like 2,000 plus years of history. It takes some very intellectual minds to understand why things are the way they are in that particular country. It's difficult to know how to pray. Should the rebels be armed or not? And then I take myself back to this phrase. I found this incredibly helpful at times when I don't know how to pray for a particular situation in the world. I take some of these phrases from the Lord's Prayer and I pray them into that particular situation or country. So why not pray as you pray for Syria, that God's name will be honoured. Pray that God's will would be done. Pray that God's kingdom will be established. These are big prayers. We have a big God. So firstly, I want to suggest to you that as you look at this phrase this morning, it will shape the way in which we pray for our world. It gives us a direction in which to travel. Secondly, it will shape the way we pray for our society. The Bible teaches us that godly living exalts a nation. We live in a society today which is on the move away from the things of God. And yet we know that when our Father's name is honoured, The values of the kingdom are upheld. The weak are protected. Justice becomes something important. Evil and violence are restrained. That is why, more than ever, we need to pray for a restoration of our Father's name and reputation in our society. You see, praying these ways is practical. It will change the way we pray for our world. It will change the way we pray for our society. It will change the way we pray for each other. Because the church is intended to be the people of God. People who take God's call to holiness seriously. We march to the beat of a different drum. We belong to a different kingdom. We pledge our allegiance to a different king. We need to develop a biblical worldview. People who honour God by the way we live and by the way that we think. We need to pray that God's name will be honoured in our church family. In our relationships with each other. We need to be people who act justly, who love mercy, people who desire to walk humbly with their God, a people who truly want to bring honour to the name of our Heavenly Father. It will shape the way that we pray for each other when we take Jesus' words on board. And finally, I want to suggest to you this morning, it will shape the way that we pray for ourselves. If you start to take this petition seriously, God, I want your name to be honoured. It's going to affect all kinds of things in our lives, isn't it? It's going to affect your family life. Because you'll be praying, Lord, I want your name to be honoured in my home. I want your name to be honoured in our family. It's going to affect your work life. You'll be saying, Lord, I want your name to be honoured in the way that I carry out my work every day. Who says the teaching of Jesus is not practical and down to earth? It's going to affect the way we behave in our relationships with other people, with those around us. It stops us from dividing our lives into this kind of secular and sacred box that we can end up with. Where we say we've got sort of parts of our lives that God's involved in, and then there are other parts that God's not involved in, where the Bible says to us, actually, you know what, all of our lives is about following Christ. And to pray, hallowed be your name, dissolves that division. Pretty practical stuff, really, isn't it? And you start to spell it out. Praying, hallowed be your name, affects the way you pray for the world. It gives you a kind of shape or a pattern when you don't know how to pray for a particular situation. Take some of the phrases that God has given to us and use them to instruct your praying. It affects the way we pray for our society. So we pray for kingdom values. Affects the way we pray for each other in our church community here, because we want God's name to be honoured in how we relate to each other and how we live and work out our faith. It affects the way we pray for ourselves. That's what it means to pray like Jesus. Amazing what you can get out of one little phrase, isn't it? Just as well we're not doing the whole Lord's Prayer on one Sunday. Came across a lovely illustration which really kind of sort of drives the message home for me. You know, all of us have got something more to learn about prayer. We're all on a journey. None of us have got it cracked. All of us would like to be able to pray differently than the way we pray today. I came across this great story of Jack Nicklaus, famous golfer. And at the very height, the very pinnacle of his career, when he was winning all sorts of stuff, every year, without fail, he would go back to his golf coach and he would say to his coach, teach me again how to play golf. I thought, he's got it. He's a man at the top of his career. He knew how to play golf. But he knew that it was important that he got back to the basics. Year after year after year after year. Teach me again how to play golf. There's a humble man, top of his career, still willing to learn. What does that say to us as disciples of Jesus Christ? Lord, teach us how to pray. Do you need to be encouraged this morning? Because prayer it's kind of slipped. And Jesus is saying, come back and talk to your Father in heaven. Like a child talking to a parent, but a perfect parent. Come and talk to your Father whose name has been disclosed to us in the Bible. Almighty God, Sovereign God, your Shepherd, your Rock, your Fortress, your Friend, your Refuge. You need to be encouraged to get back to that place of prayer. This is a practical series. I just heard a great encouragement during the week. Just one of our home groups. It just sort of took some of the lessons from last Sunday. We talked about Abba Father and transformed their prayer time in this past week. Because what we're looking at really does change our lives. You need to be encouraged this morning. Or maybe you become discouraged. You've been praying for something for years and God just has not given you what is the real desire of your heart. That's why I encourage you this morning. Just keep going. Just keep recognizing who God is. Just keep remembering that it's about God and who He is and His purposes and His priorities. So wherever we're at in our journey of prayer this morning, I pray that as we think about this phrase, as you think about our Father in heaven, as we're reminded that we are part of an earthly family, you have a Father in heaven who's perfect and who's holy. Let me encourage you. So let's pray. Let's enjoy the kind of peace and quiet before the children arrive back. They're a little bit more about Intrepid in a few minutes, but just reflect just for a moment on what we've been learning. Father, we just pray that you would just teach us from your word this morning, as we stand in the disciples' shoes and we simply say to you, Lord, teach us how to pray. Perhaps for some of us this morning, it's teach us again how to pray. But Lord, we want to be able to pray like Jesus did. That simplicity, that intimacy, that recognition of who you are, that dependency on you, that recognition that life is not about all about us and our circumstances, but it's about you and your priorities and your kingdom and your values. And you tell us that when we seek your kingdom, then these other things find their rightful place in our lives. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to trust you when that situation or that circumstance that we've prayed about for years doesn't seem to be answered in the way that we want. Help us, Lord, to be content to leave that with you because you are our perfect Heavenly Father. And Lord, where we need to be encouraged to get back to that place of prayer, just help us to take a simple step, even perhaps to find time in this day, just to come before you and just to speak to you simply, intimately, as our Heavenly Father, our Holy Father. So encourage us, we pray. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. And give us a greater confidence in the power of prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, kids are sort of ready and willing to come back in. We're going to stand and sing two songs which take us to the name of God. Firstly, the splendor of the King clothed in majesty. Let's sing together as the children return. Let's stand now, shall we?